Sports Hub headlines.
Once again, Tom Brady out there today with gloves on both hands as the team gets ready for the visiting Jacksonville Jaguars AFC Championship game Sunday afternoon. Just announced Drew Bledsoe will serve as honorary captain for the game. Brad Stevens asked last night if, I'll let this reporter here phrase his own question after the loss to the 76ers.
Do you think you came back a little bit tired from London? Philly was in London with us. So if we did, then we are, then that's on us.
That's right. 89-80, the final there.
Gladly partake of your London trip.
Sunday, the Celtics will wrap up their homestand with a game against the Magic. Bruins with a win last night, thanks in large part to Patrice Bergeron. His hat trick was good enough to push him past Wayne Cashman for seventh on the Bruins' all-time goals list. How'd you do it there, champ?
I think every time we keep things simple early on and we get the breaks, then we can start making some cuter plays. So I think when we're sharp and good on a forecheck and finding ways to to keep a simpler game early, then we're good.
Another game against the Canadiens Saturday night in Montreal. Headlines are brought to you by Parker Professional Driving School. Make a game-winning drive this playoff season with CDL training at Parker Professional Driving School in Avon. Visit ParkerCDL.com for more. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports. 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
98.5 The Sports Hub is Boston's home for sports. 98.5thesportshub.com is Boston's homepage for sports. Add it to your bookmarks and stay in the game. Now. Sports talk. While you're on the clock. This is Zulak and Bertrand.
We're sports show radio hosts.
On 98.5 The Sports Hub.
In the Ferrari and Jaguar, switching four lanes, top down, screaming out, money in the bank.
Bubble hard in the double law, flash the rings with the window crack, holla back, money in the bank.
Jigger, I don't like it if it's
1 o'clock hour on this Friday on Zolak and Bertrand and RJ Bell from pregame.com on Twitter at RJ in Vegas.
Time to make money. Time to make money.
With us. Hi, RJ.
I got to say, I have a radio show. My music is not near as cool as you guys' bumper music.
That's why we're dope.
I mean, it's not even close.
Oh, boy.
I do have Drake. I do play Drake now and again.
Well, that's exciting.
But how many guys are working on your show, RJ?
Well, it's a national show, but probably less than you've got.
Well, yeah. I mean, we're lucky. We got, the five people in
here. Well, when you're one of the best stations in the country, what do you expect?
And just remove the one up.
Yeah, good point.
Wow. I've got to be a little diplomatic.
All right.
RJ, what has happened with this line with the news of the Brady hand/thumb injury?
Well, it's significant. So the line was in the 9-point range. It even was 9.5 earlier. And if you just glance, go to pregame.com, just glance at the free odds, you'd see 7.5. And you think, okay, yeah, 2-point move, but it really moved through some numbers that aren't very key, right? Not many games fall 9, not many games fall 8, so not much of a move. But let's go a little bit deeper. Pinnacle is probably one of the biggest sports books in the world. Let's say that. They are an offshore book. They take big bets. I mean, they literally will take a $1 million bet on the Super Bowl. So this is a big book. And they're known for getting the sharpest action, right? Usually the biggest books get the sharpest action because that's where the big bettors want to bet because they want to get all their money down. Right now, if you want to lay the 7.5, you get +105, where instead of the normal -110, you're +105. And if you actually want to take the 7.5, you got to lay 115. So it's about a 10-cent adjustment on the juice. And 7 is only worth the number. 7 is only worth 10 cents. So really, for all intents and purposes, the line right now is New England -7, even though it says 7.5.
Ooh.
So really, the fact it's moving into 7 is a sign that this is a real question. I don't think so much that he's going to play, but is he going to be limited?
Right, and what he is once he gets onto the field. That will that change before we get to kickoff on Sunday, or is that pretty much where it's going to stay?
I think the volatility on this line is higher than an average line because we're going to try to read the tea leaves to some degree. I heard you guys on the news break say, well, he was on the field, but he had two gloves. It's like every little move, you know, if he's drinking his coffee with his left hand, there might be a line move. So my sense is, now listen, if somehow Brady doesn't play, knock on wood for you guys, you know, they're less than a field goal favorite. I think they're still favored, but you're looking at a 1-2 point favorite at that point.
All right.
So obviously it'd be a drastic move if he doesn't play, but I think the news on how his hand's feeling will create some volatility.
When we get to this time of year, there's this assumption that you're dealing with the Final Four and you're dealing with the four best teams, so that should create, you know, tighter games or harder games to wager on. Is that true, or do the teams that are favored in these games on championship weekend typically fare well?
I think that's two separate questions. One is, I think the playoffs are easier to beat, and here's why. The way to beat the NFL is fading public bias. If the public thinks one thing, this is the one sport where the public's percentage of the overall betting handle is big enough that it overwhelms the sharps. I mean, think about college basketball, right? Boston College is in a Tuesday night game. 90-plus percent of that money is professional money betting that game. Thus, you've got to just know more than the other pros.
Yeah, just ask Henry Hill. I mean, he used to bet on BC all the time.
He really knew something, right? In the NFL, even though the pros bet more on that than anything else themselves, it's a smaller percentage of the overall handle. So I think if you fade the biases, you can beat the NFL. And in the NFL playoffs, there's even more public money, thus more bias. Now, that said, the favorites do better in the NFL playoffs, because in the regular season with favorites, there's a big question about motivation. Right. If I'm taking 12 points against the Patriots, let's say, it's not because I don't think the Patriots are 12 points better. It's I think Belichick is smart enough to say, well, let's run the ball here for up by 10. Let's slow the game down. All of those issues. You don't see that in the playoffs. You saw it last week against Tennessee, how it was pedal to the metal all the way to the end of the game. Thus, playoff teams' favorites tend to do better. In the conference finals specifically, going back to 1978, the favorite has covered 58% of the time.
CRJ, too, I think, you know, there's excitement now created for Jacksonville, too, because now it seems like, okay, the window's been open to where, we might be able to get in here. As opposed to if Brady was healthy, I would think, boy, they won their Super Bowl last week by beating Pittsburgh, who was talking smack. Same thing for, like, the Vikings. They were dead in the water. How much can they come back from, you know, the elation and the emotion of winning that game and going to Philly and really play a good game, like that spot?
I think it's very rare in the playoffs for teams to potentially be flat, but I think you've just touched on it. I think Jacksonville could be flat off of what I would say is the biggest win of the career of almost everyone on the field in Pittsburgh last week. Right? I'm not sure there's even an exception. So are they potentially flat? One other trend in this Jacksonville, and then we'll jump to the Vikings. This is the trend of the week. NFL playoff teams that score 40 or more points the next week are 5-25 against the spread. Makes sense, right? Everyone sees them dominate. Everyone loves points. The public bias bets that team. They get expensive, and they don't cover. 5-25 is a pretty big number. Good for you guys. I think the Vikings are another example. Whenever you have a win that the name of the game has miracle in the title, probably going to be a little bit of a not let down so much the next game, but maybe a little less energy, right? Keenum is on record as saying he didn't sleep much Sunday night. He didn't sleep much Monday night. Does that affect him come Sunday? You might say, oh, no big deal. But the difference between winning and losing in the NFL is smidges, 1% here, 1% there. I don't say this last thing to scare you guys, but it's true. Think about against Seattle and the Patriots in the Super Bowl. When they had the ball on the 2-yard line, they were what, 70% to win that game?
Sure.
All right. And obviously at a certain point in the Atlanta game, you guys were less than 10% to win the game, right? So you could make the case that if the favorites had won at that point, it'd be over a decade since you won a Super Bowl. Now we're talking about the greatest dynasty in the history of the sport. It's literally a coin flip. And then you could flip it and say you'd be 7-0 if it weren't for two amazing plays against the Giants. So NFL is all about inches, to quote Al Pacino. And I think Minnesota's win last week could hurt them by a matter of inches.
We're talking with RJ Bell of pregame.com. RJ, when we get to NBA playoff time, I know that we always take a look at who the officials are and what impact officiating may have on the game, and especially in basketball, very subjective, and certain guys have certain tendencies. When it comes to NFL playoffs and when it comes to the sharps that are wagering on games, do they ever factor in officiating into games? There's been some talk about Cleet Blakeman being the official in this weekend's Patriots game, and also the idea, as it's been suggested this week, that officials last week in the game against Tennessee helped the Patriots because the NFL now has a vested interest in getting the Patriots to the Super Bowl because the other three teams are not as attractive for TV ratings. Is that ever considered by the sharps?
So this Blakeman, what is the perception of him?
That he is not Patriot-friendly.
Oh, see, now that surprises me because I thought you were asking about a conspiracy theory, which I am not a conspiracy theory guy, but I actually think it's a valid point this week. And let me pose it to you guys at the best station in the country. Is there an NFL game of the last 10 years that the winner or loser is going to have a higher impact on the bottom line of the NFL than the Patriots winning or losing this game?
My point, I can't recall one because this is a pretty unique situation right now.
If it's Jacksonville versus either of these NFC teams, worst Super Bowl for the casual fan in a long time, and the worst year to have a worst Super Bowl because down 9% this year, down what, almost 20% over 2 years, the sports media narrative is NFL is trending down. Maybe it's political, maybe it's concussions, whatever it is. And then imagine if the Super Bowl has 12 million less viewers. I mean, would Jacksonville, now there's debate on this, but would Jacksonville and Minnesota have 12 million less viewers?
Probably.
Yeah, and I think so. I think Jacksonville's a huge hit to the league.
League is ruling is rooting for Philly, New England.
I think they'll do okay with Philly or Minnesota because there's a decent storyline on both. I mean, you've got a good market.
I think the home field's a good storyline.
Yeah, home field's a good storyline, and they haven't been there in a long time, and you've got the Philly angle where that's a great sports market and a big sports market and a big following. I just think Jacksonville's the worst in the bunch. They don't want Jacksonville in the Super Bowl.
And it's, if it was Jacksonville against New England, you know, somehow in the NFC, that'd be fine, right? But not having one marquee team with a backup quarterback, if it is Philadelphia, I mean, come on. To me, I'm not saying the league's going to do anything nefarious, but if anything, the way leagues tend to affect results, and Stern was famous for this, is what kind of official helps the team you want to win. And to me, what I would guess is you'd want officials that are quick to throw flags in the defensive backfield because Jacksonville is a very physical defensive team. And I'd be surprised if that I wouldn't be surprised if you had a lot of flags that benefited the Patriots.
All right, RJ, appreciate your time as always, bud. We'll talk to you before the Super Bowl.
Thank you.
See you, RJ.
RJ Bell, pregame.com on Twitter, at RJ in Vegas. CBS Sports Minute brought to you by the American Red Cross. John Feinstein says at least the world of golf still has Rory McIlroy to root for.
Foundation invite you to the first annual Patrice Bergeron and 98.5 The Sports Hub's Hawks and Paddles. It's Thursday, February 15th at Royale Boston. The tournament will feature current Bruins players, Hutcher and Rich, and the patients from Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center. How would you like to show your skills in doubles ping pong with a celebrity of your choice? Place your bids and get VIP or general admission tickets by going to 98.5thesportshub.com now. It's Pucks and Paddles with Patrice Bergeron and his teammates and Hutcher and Rich on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making your job suck just a little bit less.
Hello? Go ahead.
What was that?
Zolak and Bertrand, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Bill, do you have any update on Tom's status for Sunday?
Yeah, we gave out the injury report yesterday. We'll update it today.
When Brian Poyer steps in there like he did yesterday, how does that affect at all the team practice to lead to the team execution that you're looking for on game day? Do you feel like when he's in there, you guys are getting the work that helps you meet that team execution that you're looking for on game day?
Brian does a great job for us. Works hard, practices hard. That's a good job.
Has not having Tom out there limited your preparation at all for Jacksonville?
We're going to continue to get ready for Jacksonville all the way through until game time.
Boom, boom, and pow, when I shut them down.
So Tom Brady is going to step to the podium later this hour, right?
Hopefully in about 15 minutes. I'm telling you, it's going to be tight up till the end of practice. So whenever they step off that field, because it allows them to sell, this is what I have on. Because, guys just got off the practice field. What's up? Let's go. Let's make this quick. Got to get some treatment. I think that's how he's going to start it. As we all know, he's injured. Right? That's the out for him.
Yeah.
I don't think this is going to be to the back end like around 2:30.
Hey, Jim, we have our guys on the ground down there at Foxborough. Maybe we should ask them what the scene is.
Yeah,
just in general, what the scene of that room is right now, because it's got to be packed. It's got to be absolutely packed.
Well, I guess all the Providence affiliates are there with all their morning crew. You know Housley's there. They're all going to be looking for the soundbite.
617-779-0985. Let's get to more of your calls. Yeah. And
thanks for hanging.
Hopefully we'll be hearing from Tom Brady in about 15 minutes right here on the Sports Hub. Keith and Brockton. Hi, Keith.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
Hey, how uncanny is it that Tom Brady is going to be the honorary captain of this game, and this is the guy who gave back-to-back fingers to Miami and Buffalo, and Zola, you were the backup, but he had those pins in his finger after hurting his finger on the helmet.
It's an interesting point. I talked about that injury today.
Yeah.
Because everybody's like, can you shoot up and play? I'm like, Jesus, I backed up a guy that wouldn't get off the field because he had pins sticking out of the tip of his finger. That pin was the last thing to leave the football. Do people understand that? That dug into the football to get it to spin, the pin. That's crazy.
So, and then how do you feel about that? I mean, you were there for that whole thing.
It's awesome he's coming in.
That was a bad injury.
It was a bad injury. The whole tip of his finger was broken. He put a pin in it to hold it together, he played until it became so dislodged that it was going to hurt the tip of the finger and it was going to be fused. So they told him, we got to shut it down. But that's what you do. You shoot it up and you go. I'm sure this guy's going to do it on Sunday, too. I think those are two of the toughest guys to ever play the position. This is no disrespect to Steve Grogan. I did not play with Steve, but I love Steve. I do a lot of stuff with Steve, and I know what Steve did and played with the neck roll. Think about that. To have Grogan, Bledsoe, and Brady from a toughness standpoint in this organization.
Insane.
Something to be proud of.
And there's a lot.
And then you got a punk like Tony Eason.
I was going to say, there are a lot of guys in the middle there, though.
Yeah.
A lot of guys in the middle between... I mean, Grogan and Bledsoe.
Freaking Eason. I got to go to that damn Lowe's in Plainville. Hey, Tony. Hey, how you doing? Great. Hey, guys, Tony's back.
I think you're Tony Eason.
I love number 11.
Thank you.
My kid's like, what? I might just say thanks. Just keep walking. Do you like that new microwave, Tony? It's a good one. I gave you the floor model.
Thank you.
Thanks. Keep walking.
Tony Eason.
I wear Hatton on the corner now, the hood.
Do you know that he may have the worst performance in a Super Bowl by a quarterback in the history of the Super Bowl? There have been 51 Super Bowls, right? That means 102 quarterback performances. I think if you were to rank them, Tony Eason might come in 102. Maybe the worst performance ever in that big of a game. Just saying. Chris in the truck. Hi, Chris.
Beetle, how we doing? Good to hear you back on the radio.
Thanks.
Zolak, how we doing? Here's what I think for the game.
Hi.
34-24. The running backs put it in the two set. Keep this. Wow, I can't talk. I'm sorry, gentlemen. I've already started going.
You lost your steam. You got to regroup.
Here's what I wanted to say. You two have the best show on the radio.
Thank you.
And Zolak, I have a 16 jersey for the game this weekend.
Attaboy.
That's what I wanted to say. The clothes are in the fridge. You guys rule. Thanks very much.
All right. Thanks. Love Jim Plunkett.
Two running backs. A lot of two backs.
I mean, feel fortunate that you actually attempted to run the ball many times this year with different guys and different subsets and have the luxury and the ability to go multiple and mix it up. This is on the coordinator, too. It's a big one for Josh, guys. Whether he's going to Indy, whether it's the Giants, or whether he's staying, or whether he's the heir apparent. And you pull Rabbit out of the hat this week. If he's not effective. If Brady goes, and you can just tell through four series, he just gives you the no, it's not effective, then they got to make the switch and they got to go with Horton.
I thought Indy was a done deal.
I guess. I don't know. Tell me what's a done deal.
Well, is Tennessee back? I wondered if Tennessee was back in play this week when they parted ways
with
Malarkey.
Should have been.
You would hope.
Yeah.
if you're them, you're a Titans fan, you would you'd want that. Scott in Rhode Island on the Super Bowl. Hi, Scott.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, man?
First, let me say that I tell you right off the top, I'm not a Patriots fan, okay?
Yep.
That said, your guy that you just had on, RJ, made a very good point. He said NFL viewership is down in the last 17 years. Who's been the most dominant force in the NFL the last 17 years? The Patriots. A lot of teams can't stand them, okay? I can tell you right now, they make the Super Bowl again this year, I'm not watching.
You're a liar.
Jacksonville, Minnesota, Jacksonville, Philly, I'm there.
You'd rather, okay, so you don't like, so you don't like the Patriots, right?
I do not
I get that. I get that.
It's fine. So
Murray had a good comment the other day. He said, oversaturation, that's why. They're everywhere. Time for some new blood.
That's fine. That's a good argument, but don't make that argument with the Jacksonville Jaguars. That's a losing argument.
Right. Right.
New blood is, yes, listen, the NFL is probably not thrilled that it's the Patriots back in it again at this point. But right now, they're in the awkward spot of having to root for them to do well because they're still a better option than the alternative, which is the Jacksonville Jaguars. Nobody wants to see the Jacksonville Jaguars.
But think about the other four. Other than you and Pittsburgh, it was Kansas City, Tennessee, Jacksonville, Buffalo.
Stars.
Well, tell me what new blood was going to be there. Was it going to be you or Pittsburgh?
Stars sell the game.
Right. Hey, when the Yankees went on all those great runs, why? Loaded. Loaded.
If you're a football fan, baseball you watch fan the Super Bowl. I'm sorry. You watch the Super Bowl. You watch. If you're a football fan, that's a game that is on your schedule for you to watch, regardless of who's in it.
I won't be happy. I will watch the Super Bowl.
But is it appointment viewing for the casual fan when it's Blake Bortles versus Tom Brady? Who do you think they're more inclined to watch? The known star commodity, Tom Brady. That's just stating facts.
We have Brady. We'll wait for Brady here.
And we have a Tom Brady Super Bowl ring item in the headlines here.
Okay, here are the headlines with Hardy, and we will be hearing from Tom Brady shortly.
Sports Hub headlines.
Yes, Tom Brady scheduled to meet the media here officially in about 10 more minutes. We'll bring it to you as it happens here on 98.5. The Sports Hub is a team practices getting ready for the Jacksonville Jaguars Sunday AFC Championship game. Now about that ring. One of the Super Bowl 51 championship rings that Tom Brady authorized to have made. They look just like his, got a few fewer diamonds that players generally give out to friends and family, is up for auction. So somebody got a ring from Brady and is now selling it. According to one expert, this has happened at least once before when a Lakers 2000 championship ring that Kobe Bryant gave to his father went on the auction block and fetched $173,000. Who's selling the Brady ring?
Giselle.
Tom, do you want me to sell the ring, Tom?
Alex.
Guerrero.
Well, let me out play more. Fine. Here's my thinking ring. Who wants it?
I'm putting it on eBay.
Who wants it?
Patrice Bergeron got the hat trick last night as the Bruins beat the Islanders 5-2 Saturday night. They're going to be up in Montreal to play the Canadiens once again. Celtics without Kyrie Irving and his sore shoulder last night lost to the Sixers 89-80. They'll take on Orlando Sunday afternoon at the Garden. Headlines brought to you by AT&T, proud sponsor of the 98.5 The Sports Hub, Patriots Radio Network, AT&T Entertainment your way. I'm Hardy on Boston's home for sports, 98.5 The Sports Hub. More headlines in 30 minutes.
Scott Zolak, Mark Bertrand, Zoe and the Beatle. Zoe and the Beatle, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
If you've been waiting to ski, stop waiting.
This week, the weather you've been waiting for. Just look at all the snow waiting for you.
Come ski.
Come ride.
Come learn.
Just come outside and have fun.
For the latest conditions
and discounted tickets,
go to whatyousaid.com.
And now, In the Huddle with Zoe.
All right, guys, come on, let's go. Get in here. This one's unstoppable. 2018 Chevy Silverado Double Cab, up to 13 grand off, only at McGee Chevy. Find new roads at McGeeChevrolet.com. Ready?
Get ready for Sunday's championship game with...
Just because you're at work doesn't mean you have to miss a story. Zolak and Bertrand on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is a public service announcement sponsored by Just Blaze and the good folks at Rockefeller Records.
Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself. My name is Ho.
H to the OV. I used to move snowflakes by the up. I guess even back then you can call me CEO of the ROC. Ho, fresh out the frying pan into the fire. I be the music biz number one supplier. Flyer than a piece of paper bearing my name. Got the hottest chick in the game wearing my chain. That's right, ho, ho. Not DRC.
Our Patriots producer Mark Capello is on the scene in Foxborough right now. My homie Strick
told me. Place go nuts when
he said
play
it's
this.
A circus, right? He said it's a circus.
Why can't we get him on the phone? I know we can't do it on the headset.
There's some technicalities that would cause echoes.
He's got a cell phone.
All right, you want to get him off the headset? Get him off the headset and get him on the cell phone, and then we won't be able to tell when Brady gets to the podium?
No, I don't want
to
do that. So, come on.
I hate everybody.
There are cameras set up on the right side of the stage so people can get a good view of his right hand.
Really?
Like TV cameras set up on the right, not just in the back.
Strategically set up a second camera, probably. So you've got multiple cameras from networks to get a hand shot.
Yeah. All right, I have a question.
Yeah.
What's the fine if he doesn't talk? Because you get fined. He's required to speak.
Maybe he's selling one of his rings to pay the fine.
Might be it.
Item in the headlines a couple of minutes ago, Tom Brady authorized Super Bowl ring on the auction block. Maybe he's selling it to help cover the fine.
You know what I'm saying?
For not talking today.
If it's just a little drop in a bucket for him, I'll take the fine. I ain't talking.
Patriots.com just tweeted that he'll be at the podium soon.
There you go.
Ooh, he's speaking. He knows he has to. Then it becomes an issue when he doesn't talk. Like, nip it off.
Shit, have it on.
Yeah, we'll do that. Yeah.
Well, I mean.
In the meantime, I want to tell you this. Zoe and I are taking part this year in Pucks and Paddles.
Right.
Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich are presenting this fabulous, now the first annual event. It's a ping pong tournament benefiting the Boston Bruins Foundation and Floating Hospital for Children at Tufts Medical Center, happening next month, February 15th, Thursday the 15th at Royale Boston. You could bid to play ping pong against your favorite Bruins player, Toucher and Rich, and others, including Zolak and Bertrand.
Just don't go on a stage. They're going to be on a stage because they got to pump the crowd up and work the mics and that. You and I will be with the players playing ping pong. Don't touch the mics.
That's what Rich told us.
Rich said,
I didn't hear.
Well,
this.
No, Rich
you
said, I said, are
it.
You guys going to be playing? Well, can't 100% guarantee. We'd like to, but it's really their thing. So
are they upset with us for
the hype man
being on their turf?
No.
This is their territory?
Meaning this is their deal. Like,
I know it is. It's Patrice Bergeron and Toucher and Rich putting on the event.
Yeah,
we're not trying to invade on their space or their territory.
No, just going to have a good time.
Just trying to help raise a little money here.
I get a little loud, but I'm just like, yeah, I have a good time. The bracket started me getting loud.
Great cause. VIP tickets, $200. Can give you access to the autograph session with the team. General admission tickets, $50. For more information, get your tickets, do your bidding. 98.5thesportshub.com is where you go for that.
We get it free, right? I don't have to buy
tickets. Yeah, we're not paying to go. We're not paying to go. Maybe make a donation while I'm there, though.
Mike, sure would.
Might do that.
Yep.
Sounds like a lot of fun.
Tom Brady's 50 seconds late.
It's 1:40 and 55 seconds right now.
Oh, man.
And he's not there.
When's the last time?
Look at Jim. Jim looks like he's going to puke back there. Look how nervous he is.
We're in no man's land with our last commercial break, we're going to be up against TV, doing math.
We'll just take all breaks now.
They said there would be no math. That's why we're radio guys.
When's the last time the Felger Maserati program took a live press conference? It was probably Claude and Donnie.
I'm guessing like Alex Cora becoming Red Sox manager. That was later in the day, right? He got hired in the afternoon.
I don't know.
It feels like it was something earlier, because didn't Jim turn around the Alex Cora songs really fast?
Yes.
Maybe
a little bit of Monica in my life.
Maybe it was from the day before.
Frederica, Julia.
Jim can't even answer right now. He's too nervous. He's got commercials.
My girlfriend, Angelica.
He's got Brady. Yeah. He's got the thumb.
Kelly Pedroia.
He's got math.
Kelly Pedroia.
Sammy Adamar.
So what do you think? Are we close or no? Take a call?
Take calls.
All right. I'm just warning everyone. We'll take calls, but
we got to drop you.
We will just hang up on you if we need to.
TV12.
Gavin at Fort Bragg. Gavin.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, guys.
What's up?
Hey, so I just want to reel in real fast on a couple of Super Bowls I didn't see. Because I agree, I watch every single Super Bowl. Luckily, I have the luxury of being a Patriots fan, and getting to watch our team you represent. But Peyton Manning's 2006 against the Bears, didn't watch it. I watched him lose against the Saints. Didn't watch him lose against against the Steelers, because I was in Afghanistan. And then I didn't watch his latest victory against the Panthers. But I do agree that the NFL, they are rooting for the Pats, you know, for that to mark up the game a little bit. But I appreciate everything you guys do, and thanks for taking my call.
Hey, kid. Hey, thanks. Thank you for your service. We appreciate it.
Thank you, guys. I appreciate everything. You guys are awesome.
Thank you. See, a lot of people watch the game.
Bears, Colts, I can understand why some Patriots fans didn't watch. I watch them all. I watched that one that was raining in that game.
It was such
crappy game.
It was so poorly filmed. I watched halftime more just in case Prince got shocked because he said, bleep it. They wanted to, like, do him underneath or put a tent up. He said, no.
The purple rain in the rain.
Plug the bitch in and let's go. Whatever happened. If it's my day, it's my day.
Are we going to Prince's house next week? Are we going there?
I'm not doing this, Jim.
It's the week after.
You want to say anything, Jim?
And we're going to be real busy.
Busy.
Hardy and I might not be able to be there.
We may not.
We're pretty busy. Pretty busy.
With?
Stuff. A lot of work.
A lot of stuff.
Radio. Yeah, TV. TV/radio. Your parties. A couple parties.
So many people. So many parties.
What seems to be the issue?
At the mall.
Well,
sales at the mall.
What did I miss?
If Pats went on Sunday, we'll
explain it Monday.
We'll explain it on Monday.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's all.
All right.
And if the Pats lose on Sunday, we'll still explain on Monday what we would have been doing.
Okay.
All right.
All right.
Is that fair?
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah. So you're really not going to go, is what you're saying. Not going to have time for it.
I might. It depends when we go.
I'd like to.
What, are you going on the bus again or something?
No. Mush. Mush to...
The Iditarod? The mush to Minneapolis?
Hiya! Hiya!
Okay. All right.
Well, yeah.
Tell me later, I guess.
Yeah.
Hardy's Huskies are sponsored by Husqvarna, number one in outdoor equipment for over 50 years.
Jared in Abington. Hi, Jared.
What's up, boys?
Hi.
Hey, a little bit about Tom Coughlin. Now, Felger and Maz are all over that, but if you ask me, listening to Doug Marrone on the press conferences, you got to be able to get through to a coach like that, making the calls out on the field. I just don't think Marrone has it. Whether or not Coughlin's got, you know, some inside knowledge on how to beat Belichick, I don't think Marrone has it to execute.
Well, Coughlin's not the coach. That's the thing. I keep hearing this Coughlin thing. Here's the best thing Tom Coughlin could have done is built the makeup of the team to the way he thinks it's successful in this league.
He could offer good advice this week, though. You could give him that.
Sure.
Right?
Like, here's Bill's style, you know? But the game has changed, too. I heard this a lot when Joe Gibbs came back. Joe Gibbs, it was like this 12-year gap. You're going to see it with Gruden. People will talk about it with Gruden. What parts of the game? Okay, we're going to take a break right here.
We're going to take a timeout here. Get and close. We'll have Tom Brady coming up momentarily.
Go now to Gillette Stadium for Tom Brady's press conference live on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
You know any footballs today?
I'm not talking about that.
How did you practice today?
I was out there.
For the whole practice?
Yes.
How was practice?
It was fun.
How much are you looking forward to Sunday?
What's that?
How much are you looking forward to the opportunity Sunday?
It's a great challenge. You know, I think the team's worked hard to get to this point, and it'll be a great game. Yeah, I mean, playing against a really good team that's good in all phases. And, you know, we're going to have to play really well.
Do you have to be at the top of your game on Sunday to beat this team?
Absolutely. You know, it's the best team we faced all year. And, you know, they're here for a reason. They obviously, you know, are a top-ranked defense in the league, some great players at all levels. And, you know, really well coached, scoring a lot of points. So we're going to have to play really well.
Tom, how confident are you that you will be playing on Sunday?
We'll see.
Does it worry you at all that you miss the practice when you have to be at the top of your game to play this day?
Yeah, I'd always rather practice. I mean, yeah, absolutely.
Tom, you confident you'll be at the top of your game on Sunday, physically capable?
We'll see.
Tom, would you mind reflecting a little bit on your relationship, your friendship with Josh McDaniels, how close you guys have been since you started working together, basically when you both got to the organization?
Yeah, he's been a great coach and a great friend, and I think he's so well prepared, gets me prepared every week. He's so diligent, and he's just a great coach. And you know, I've loved playing for him. I love working with him, and you know, we've had a lot of fun together.
Can you explain the situation?
People say that in practice, you and Matt Patricia go at it in a good way. Could you talk a little bit about that? That you give him a little bit of smack, and he gives it right back to
you? Yeah. absolutely. It's a lot of, yeah, there's a lot of that. So he's a defensive coordinator, so try to keep things lively in practice and a little friendly competition and try to get everyone juiced up a little bit.
Why are you wearing gloves at the press conference?
I'm wearing them before.
When you're managing an injury, is it more of a functionality of holding, gripping, throwing, or is it pain management whenever you've dealt with injury in the past?
They're all different. It's football.
What exactly happened on Wednesday? The collision that you had with the team?
I'm not talking about it. Yeah. Is that it?
Is there anything you can share about the next couple of days? What will determine the status between now and kickoff?
I have no idea.
How much similarity do you see in this Jaguars scheme with the Seahawks in the past?
A little bit different. You know, I think they definitely do some different things schematically, coverage-wise, front-wise. Players are a little bit different. So it's a very unique challenge. You know, I think their front's great. Their linebackers are very instinctive, very fast, and great cover guys in the secondary. So ball hawking defense, they strip it off you, they sack you, they scored, I think, 8 or 9 touchdowns this year on defense. So, no, they're a great defense.
Tom, why aren't you wearing gloves inside?
She already asked that.
Tom, you've been a high five guy in the past. Is it safe to say that you're going to be a fist pump guy for the rest of the weekend?
We'll see.
You got an opportunity to see Brian Hoyer take 15 snaps yesterday. How did he look?
Brian, he's always looked good. Brian does a great job.
Two final questions, guys.
Have you worked with him to help prepare for the possibility that you might not play? Help prepare him to start?
I mean, we're in the same meetings every day, you know. We're sitting right next to each other, so whatever I'm hearing or saying, he's hearing the same thing.
Have you played in a game in more pain than you're in right now?
I've played in a lot of games with pain, so.
Have you ever thrown the ball with gloves? Have you ever played a game in gloves?
That's been a long time.
You said in the past that you don't...
He said 2 questions. See you. Thank you.
All right, that is Patriots quarterback Tom Brady. A brief press conference this afternoon in Foxborough saying...
How's the hand?
Not going to talk about that.
Did you practice today?
I was out there.
He had fun.
Did you throw the ball?
He had fun.
Not going to talk about
that. Not going to talk about that. Will you play on Sunday? We'll see. We'll see?
Okay, he's got the spikes on. He's got the... to what we were talking about earlier in the show, what's he going to wear?
Yeah.
As I said, he was going to have both Under Armour gloves, which he did.
Yeah.
Hooded sweatshirt, his practice pants, and spikes still on.
He put on a gray sweatshirt, no markings on the sweatshirt, and a
no product
like
push.
Fleece, a black fleece winter hat with no markings
on
it.
Very neutral.
No TB12 gear today.
Except for the red gloves, he was dressed like a Mormon. Very muted colors, no logos.
And he looks ridiculous still wearing the gloves, so he's obviously concealing the hands and wants no one to see what his hands currently look like, or his right hand specifically.
Mm-hmm.
That press conference shouldn't have you feeling any better, I can tell you that. There's nothing reassuring about that press conference.
Remember the Rock with Sean Connery when he escaped? The first time after they cut his hair?
This man can take nothing seriously.
I'm telling you.
Not a damn thing.
No, you get the haircut. He's in the hotel room, yes.
I feel great. Had a lot of fun. We'll see. It's going to be a fun day. Brian Hoyer always prepares well.
So now Tom Brady and Sean
Connery.
No, we're
not doing this. I'm not doing this. I feel pretty good.
You're the one who did it.
We're not getting bought. Like, oh, my God. He's dressed like a freaking bank robber, okay? Yeah. There's nothing to read out of it. So, whatever.
Nothing? Nothing at all?
Oh, there's plenty.
I think there's concern on him, sure. I don't know. I'm going back and forth again. In and out. In and out. Up and down. I don't like the fact that he didn't practice again today. He didn't practice.
He was there.
Come on. He didn't practice.
Did he throw? Not talking about
him. Not talking about him.
Of course he didn't throw. If there are stitches in the hand, they are telling him, they're immobilizing, do not move the hand.
Who said anything about stitches?
I'm just saying, multiple people said stitches. Give me a break.
Now he's got stitches in the hand for sure.
If there's stitches in the hand, they're going to tell him, keep the thing still for 4 days. 4 days! Okay? God.
What should he be doing between now and Sunday?
Staying away from tomatoes.
You can't have that inflammation.
Right. Supreme greens?
What do you do? I mean, what do you do if this is the case?
You do nothing.
Nothing.
You rest. You elevate. You rest. You ice.
Rub some salve on it.
Heat and cold. Mr. Miyagi, he's got to have something for him. Some cream. You got to keep inflammation down, swelling down. If the again, to what I said yesterday, a lot of people keep saying it's handoff, handoff. You don't really cut a hand if there's a cut without throwing it off somebody's helmet or shoulder pads.
Who would he have maybe thrown that off of?
Could it be a running back? I don't know. And here's where you're. Hey, I'm just going to tell you how it normally happens.
35.
It normally happens because there's usually a back that's panicked the back steps up. He's panicked. Oh, crap. I'm on the wrong side. Here comes a blitzer the other way. Then I scam back right in front of the lane where the quarterback's falling through. It's usually how those happen. What the hell would I know?
I don't know. You were the guy that once lost to the Jacksonville Jaguars in the playoffs. Right. We covered that today.
I was the also guy standing there where Trace Armstrong was coming on a blitz. Somebody almost missed it, and Bledsoe's hand went off his helmet. So all these things happen.
Bledsoe is going to be the captain on Sunday, honorary captain.
Zoe, you're a little worried.
Zoe, you're going to be in there with him?
I'll see you there.
Get in on the action?
Yeah, it's going to be a nice
All right,
day.
So forget about Beatles' Twitter poll just for a second. We'll shoot it around the room, just three of us. Gauge your level of worry on a scale of what did you have, Beal?
1 to 4, we'll
one
say.
1 to 4. 4 most worried?
4 is most worried. Yep. I'm at a 3.
Zoe?
1.5.
1.
Of course.
I'm not worried.
Really?
Yeah. I think it's a bunch of nonsense.
I need to see. First of
all, I think it's going to be fine.
Hey, how happy are Felger and Mass that they don't have to run that press conference live?
They can rerun it. Jimmy said they're going to rerun it in its entirety.
Well, it was 2.5 minutes
like
long.
4 minutes. A couple of cuts. He can't even run the whole thing. He needs cuts.
Unreal.
He needs cuts.
It's agenda free.
Jimmy, get me a cut sheet. Get me a cut sheet right now. I'm back at it on Sunday. We'll have pregame coverage beginning at noon for the 3 o'clock kickoff in Foxborough. Until then, have a great weekend and try not to worry too much about Tom Brady.